Okay, Chavra. So we're learning Maseches Sukkah. And if you remember, there is a discussion or a machlokas in the Mishnah about how tall a sukkah could be. Our Mishnah says that a sukkah cannot be above 20 amos. However, there is an opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a sukkah can be super duper tall. Even if the sukkah is 40 or 50 amos tall, it's going to be kosher. Right? That's what we basically had. And Rabbi Yehuda decides, you know what, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. Right? So he says, once upon a time, there is this queen, Heleni Hamalka, and she is sitting in this gigundous sukkah, and everyone, all the Talmidei Chachamim come in, and no one says anything to her. So obviously you see that a sukkah can be extremely tall, and it's not a problem. I think we noted on one occasion that the Gemara is not entertaining the possibility that everyone is just scared to say anything to the queen because, like, bad things might happen. But maybe Heleni is a very nice queen. So basically, maybe Huda says, oh, you see that a sukkah can be very tall. The Gemara, though, deflects it. Well, maybe the reason why no one said anything is because she's exempt from a sukkah. So the Gemara says, no, even though she's exempt, but she had seven kids, and at least one of her kids had to, be in the sukkah, or one of the kids, I should say, is going to be old enough to be chayiv in chinuch, and therefore the kid would have to be in the sukkah. This led to our conversation the last few weeks that we learned about the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch, etc. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is the proof. That's basically the Gemara. Then the Gemara begins to analyze it. And he says, well, one second. We had three opinions in the Amoraim. Rabba, Reb Zera, and Rava. What's the reason why a sukkah over 20 amos is no good? Rabba said that's because people have to know that they're sitting in the sukkah. Therefore, if you're in a sukkah, that's Stefanos Magios Waschach, that the walls connect to the roof. So you'll follow it all the way up through the, right, we noted from the Meiri, that you'll follow the direction, the decorations on the wall, and you'll see the schach, everything is grand. Well, according to Rabba, the Gemara says, you can't say that the sukkah is super tall because Stefanos Magios Waschach, because a queen would not want to sit in the sukkah where Stefanos Magios Waschach, because queens need lots of airy space. Okay, so far so good. So the Gemara says, well, we have opinions that the only dispute between the Tanoim about how tall a sukkah is by a small sukkah. If it's a larger sukkah, then there's no dispute. Now, this comes in different forms. This comes in the form of Reb Zera's statement, who says that the reason why a sukkah over 20 amos is no good is because you'll be getting shade from the walls, not from the schach. Therefore, the Gemara says, if the sukkah is larger, if it's like 4 amos, so then you'll be getting shade from the schach, and it's going to be okay. There is another opinion, though, an opinion of Rav Chanan, who says that if the sukkah is larger than the minimum size of a sukkah, the smallest possible size, which is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, so any sukkah that's larger than that can be super-duper tall. Based on this, so now we can analyze the Gemara. The Gemara says, Let's pick up from the top line on Gimel Amud Aleph. Elo l'manda amar basuka ketana machlokes. If you're going to tell me that the dispute is only about a small sukkah, but by a large sukkah, everyone agrees it can be over 20 amos. V'chidarka shalmalka leishev basuka ketana. Would a queen sit in a small squashed sukkah? Queens need their space. They need to luxuriate. Right? I like that word. But Lamaisa, she wouldn't be singing such a small sukkah. So Gemara answers, no, you got it wrong. Amarada bar Rav Ada lo nitzucha ela lesukah ha'asuya kitonios. The sukkah is made in a way that there are small cubicles. like in offices sometimes. Like you have a large office space, but everyone has their area, which is basically the size of a chicken coop. Right? That's ketonios, ketonios. So then the Gemara asks, one second, would a queen sit in a small little cubicle, v'chidaka shalmalka leishe besuka ha'asuya ketonios, ketonios? Would she sit in a tiny, in the sukkah, that every area is broken up into small spaces? The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Ashi lo nitzrucha ela l'ketonios sheba. Really, it's a gigantic sukkah. There's one small little cubicle where Hileni Hamalka would sit in, and she would sit in that small area, apparently for tznius purposes. She didn't want to be in the large sukkah with everyone else. She would sit in the tiny cubicle for tznius purposes. The question is, was only Hileni sitting in the cubicle, or were the kids sitting with her in the cubicle? And Zakti Gemara, Rabbanan, Savri, Banel, Basuka, Ma'al, Yavu, Yasri, Vi, Yasu, Bekitonius, Mishum, Tzniyusa, Umishum, Hachi, Lo, Amilo, Davar, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar, Banel, Gabba, Havu, Yasri, Lafilo, Hachi, Lo, Amilo, Davar. There's a Machlokes in Metzius. Where were the kids sitting? Were the kids sitting next to her in that tiny cubicle? If that's the case, so then Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a Raya, the kid is with her. The Sukkah is over 20 Amos, you see, I'm right. The Chomim say, no, you misunderstood the story. The kids are not sitting in the tiny cubicle with mommy. The kids are sitting in the larger sukkah. And the reason why no one said anything is because the kids are sitting in the larger sukkah. That's basically this Gemara. Grand.
Can I just ask you about the last line, Rabbi
Yehuda? If you want.
Or are we going to get to that?
No, ask about the last line. Yeah.
Make sure
so Rabbi Yehuda Savar.
They're sitting up straight.
That Rabbi Yehuda held that Baneha Gabba have a Yasvi. That the kids are sitting with her in the small cubicle.
Gabba.
Gabba, right. The children are sitting with her. Gabba habayasi. They're sitting with her in the cubicle. And no one said anything. So that proves that the sukkah can be over 20 amos. That's Rabbi Yehuda's proof. The Chachamim say no. The reason why no one said anything is because the kids are not sitting with mommy in the tiny cubicle. The kids are sitting in the larger area of the sukkah. Ad kan divrei ha-gemara. Now, the problem with this Gemara, which Rashi raises, and Rashi tries to answer, although I can't say I understand what Rashi answers, is according to Rav Chanan says that a small sukkah is where we have a dispute. And by small, I mean really small. Seven tefachim by seven tefachim. Basically, that is, if each tefach is like 3 inches, so that's like 21 inches. By 21 inches. That is tiny, no? That's smaller than a regular seat on El Al. Right? It's really small. So Rashi asks the Kasha, according to Rav Chanan, how could it be, right, that you have the kids possibly sitting next to her? There's just not enough physical space. Right? Look at Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda Savar. The Rashi is the second skinny line. Vim Tomar, Fact Rashi. L'Rav Chana, D'muki Plukta B'sheina Machsekes HaKadei Roshe V'ruba V'shulchano, Hacha Kevin D'Baneha Gaba Havya, Kevin D'Baneha Gaba Havya L'Gedola, U'modu Barabanon, U'mai Raya, Rabbi Yehuda. Right? If the kids are with her, by definition, it's more than seven tefachim. If it's by definition more than seven tefachim, that's by definition a big sukkah. And the big sukkah, everyone agrees, could be over 20. So there's no proof. That's Rashi's question. So Rashi proposes some sort of answer, which is really hard to understand what he means. And ultimately, Rashi concludes, V'li nira divada l'Rav Chanan kasha. Rashi says, you're right. The Gemara is against Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan is absolutely wrong. Nothing to talk about. This Gemara is totally, thoroughly rejecting Rav Chanan's opinion. That's Rashi. Grand. Tosfos. Right? So Tosfos points out, right, here, lo nitzrucha, ma shedachak bakunshus l'Rav Chanan barabba, ma raya l'Reb Yehuda, ha'i efshar l'shiva bonim b'shiva tfachim. This that Rashi forces himself to say there's no proof because you can't have seven kids and seven tefachim, Taisa says, Lav Pirchahi, it's not a question at all. Let's just pause for a second. The Aruch Lanier notes that the comment of seven kids and seven tefachim isn't really true. See, the Gemara says that she had lots of kids. And if you have lots of kids, at least one of them is the age that's a cut and share. Right? So you don't need all seven kids to be next to mommy. Right? Maybe just one of the kids is old enough that he has to be next to mommy. Correct? So the Aruch Lanier points that out. No one knows exactly why they talk about seven kids in the area, but the kasha is the same kasha with only one kid. Because seven tefachim is enough space barely for one person. Right? You can't have two people in seven tefachim. It's just not going to work. So Tosa says, Rashi is bothered by this kasha according to Rav Chanan. Tosa says, you know what? Lav pirchahi, it's not a kasha. The Dilma Aruka Tuva, maybe the sukkah is very long. Avoloha Yisra Rechava, and now here's the Girsa issue, Shiva Tvachim. Ubana, but also Orechava Yasri. Taisa says, maybe you have the kids in the sukkah, because yeah, the sukkah is narrow, but it's really long. And that's how you have the kids in the sukkah. Now, what Tosis is basically saying is, again, the kasha is, according to Rav Chanan, in seven tefachim, how do you have more than one person? So Tosis answers, the way we have the Tosis, Dilma, it's very long, avolo haisa rechava shiva tefachim. That would mean that maybe the sukkah is not seven tefachim wide. Let's say the sukkah is six tefachim wide, but it's super duper long, like this room, no? Right, you have a table, it goes on and on and on and on. So you have all the kids sitting in the sukkah. Because it's, yes, it's narrow, but it's really long. That's what Tosis says. The Tosis HaRosh has the girsa that the sukkah lo haisa rechava ella shiva tefachim. In the Tosis HaRosh, he has the text ella. And that text ella is actually found in the Magen Avraham and the Taz, based on their own logic. You see, the Magen Avraham and the Taz are bothered by a question. If the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, so what are you going to tell me? That if the sukkah is 6 by 7 by 7 equals 49. Okay, I'm just doing times tables with my son in third grade. 7 times 7 equals 49. So 6 and 9 is going to be bigger than 7 and 7, right? So far, so good? Now, Taisvis seems to be saying, oh, it's 6 by 9, or it's 6 by 10. But they ask Akasha, both the Taz and the Magen Avraham ask Akasha, one second, but if you need 7, why do you need 7? Because an individual sits in Rosh over Rubo over Shulchano. The individual can be 6 tefachim, and the table is an extra tefach, is the 7th tefach. So if that's the case, if it's only 6 wide or 5 wide, then it won't be useful at all. So it doesn't make sense. Now, maybe 6 would make sense. Because if you hold, like Rashi said on Daf Beis Amid Beit, Rashi had an interesting comment, which I don't know if we noted, but Rashi said that the reason why you need 7 by 7 is because people sit in 6 tefachim, but in their times, people would do what we do on Pesach. They'd recline. And if you recline, you need a little extra space. If that's the case, so we could say, well, maybe 6 tefachim is enough. Rashi doesn't say anything about tables. The Rush says you need 6 tefachim for the person, 1 tefach for the table. Rashi says that you need 7 tefachim. You look at the Rashi Rosh over Rubo on Beis Amid Beis. Rashi Rosh over Rubo says, Derech Udatan Behaseba Haisa, Almitos, Umisubin, Asad Smolam, the Ein Ochlin Zakufin, Vyoshin Kamonu. People used to eat reclined, not sitting up the way we do. That's why you need 7 by 7. That's basically what Rashi says. Now, if that's the case, so we could say, okay, 6 tefachim is enough. So maybe 6 and 9 would be okay. That I could hear if they're not sitting. But remember, that doesn't necessarily work. Because if you hold that you need seven tefachim because everybody is six and you have a table also, so then you need a seventh tefach, so six won't help. Six and nine won't give you enough space to eat. That's what forces the Magen Avraham and the Taz to say, you know what, the whole Tosas has a wrong girsa. The correct girsa is the word Ella, which is the way it appears in the Tosas HaRash, that means that you need seven, a minimum seven tefachim wide. So if it's a minimum seven tefachim wide, then I could fit everybody in if I have it 45 amos long. That's the Tosas. The Bach is quoted in both the Magen Avraham and the Taz. The Bach was the Taz's father-in-law, no? I imagine like their yuntiv meals were like so exciting because like the Taz never agrees with anything the Bach says. So like, oh, you know, like the Shver says a shtickle Torah, and it's like, oh my gosh, like that's totally like nuts. How do you know? It says in the Taz. Like, I'm not exactly sure. But the point is that the Taz assumes that seven tefachim by seven tefachim is area, and therefore 1 by 49 would also be good. And in a reductio ad absurdum, the Taz argues on his father-in-law. He says 1 by 49 is completely useless. One tefach, right, is completely useless. So once it's reductio ad absurdum, so maybe, in other words, the Taz himself is open to the possibility that six would work. But I don't really know what would work. So we have a measurement of seven, so as a matter of halacha, seven is the minimum. So halacha l'maisa, Magen Avraham, Taz, they all agree, or they were mechaveh to the Tosas HaRash, who has the girsa of Ella, and as a matter of halacha, you need seven tefachim by seven tefachim. Did I mention this, that like when I spent Sukkos with my parents, so the rabbi gave a Dvar Torah between Mincha and Ma'ariv, about like someone brought him to look at the patio where he had like his upstairs sukkah. I mentioned that. So again, there are different ways of measuring a tefach, etc. But as a matter of halacha, it has to be seven tefachim by seven tefachim. End of conversation. Great. Now, the Magen Avraham, at the end of the Magen Avraham, adds a really interesting idea. Let's say I have a sukkah that has all the right dimensions, but there's a tiny little corner in the sukkah that doesn't have the right dimensions. So my sukkah is 100 by 100. Great sukkah, amazing. But I'm sitting in a little vinkle. I'm sitting in a tiny little corner. And my corner is not even 7 by 7. Am I yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah in my tiny little corner? What would you say? What does the Magen Avraham say?
No.
Magen Avraham says, you're not Yotze. Absolutely not. And what's his proof?
You'll be bitzar.
What?
You'll be bitzar.
You'll be bitzar. He says, it'll be uncomfortable. But he also proves it from our Gemara. Right? Being bitzar is like a proof from Metzias. It'll be uncomfortable.
But Heleni herself.
Heleni is sitting in Ketoniot. She's sitting in a tiny little area. If you're going to tell me that when you are in a large or gigantic sukkah, and you happen to be sitting in a tiny area within that larger sukkah that you fulfill the mitzvah, so then the Gemara would have no question at all, or the whole Heleni discussion doesn't make sense, because when I said she's in a ketoniot, and apparently she would not fulfill the mitzvah there. Now, what the Magen Avraham is getting at is as follows. There's a halacha that the Gemara has. We'll talk about it on Daf Dalet, Amir Tzah Hashem. The Gemara has it on Daf Yud Tes. It's called Pisal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. Pisal HaYotze Min HaSukkah is the following idea. If I have a sukkah, and the sukkah is perfectly kosher, a wonderful sukkah, and then, to be a wonderful sukkah, you need three walls. And then the sukkah juts out, and you have a little bit of sukkah space where you don't have three real walls, no? Because I have three walls here, here, here. This is like the entrance. Then I have like a jutting out thing. So that's called Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. And your Yotze, the mitzvah, if you sit right over here. If I sit in Sukkah extension, I get the mitzvah.
Sorry, there's
Schach the whole way. There's tons of Schach. The Schach keeps on going until California. In this area, I'm in an area with three wonderful sukkah walls. Everything is grand. If I'm sitting here, amazing. If I'm sitting here, so when you think about it, min hasvar, you'd say, 1 second, dude, you're not sitting in the sukkah. Because over here, you only have two walls. One over here, and then one that's all the way back here. No? You need a third wall. Nonetheless, the halacha is, you fulfill your mitzvah sukkah. That's called pisal hayotze min hasukkah. Sukkah extensions. What the Magen Avraham is telling me is that the halacha of sukkah extensions does not apply to narrow space. And this is a nice idea, but logically, it's hard to understand. If sukkah extension applies to something that is lacking the requisite walls, the number of walls for a sukkah, so it should also apply for something that lacks the requisite space for a sukkah. So Ya'el is saying, yeah, but the Magen Avraham also noted that there's tzar. Right? It could be that's what motivates the Magen Avraham, but still, as a matter of halacha, why does pisal hayotze min hasukkah not apply to this tiny area? If I'm sitting in a corner, so yes, my area does not have seven tefachim, but I'm a sukkah extension, so I should be yotze. I am uncomfortable. Sometimes people are uncomfortable. So that is the question. And if you look in the Mishnah Brura, in the beginning of Tafresh Lamed Dalet and Sif Katan Beis, the Mishnah Brura quotes that the Magen Avraham says that you do not fulfill the mitzvah in that tiny corner, but most people disagree with the Magen Avraham. They're still nervous to go against the Magen Avraham, because the Magen Avraham is like a good Jew, but they really don't think it makes sense. So let's just pause for a second. Okay? Let me read you this Mishnah Brura, because I just quoted it. Katav HaMagen Avraham, Afilu Sukkah Gedola Harbei, Ubimakom Echad Yesh Keren Echad Mashuch Lefnim, She'em Bo Shiva Al Shiva. If you have one corner that lacks 7 by 7 tefachim, Asur Leishev Sham, Kevim Shamakom Tzar Lo Lashevet Sham, Vehetiko Ha'el Yerabba, the El Yerabba quotes the Magen Avraham, V'ayin Be'er Halacha, and look at my Be'er Halacha, where I give a very long essay about the Magen Avraham. And the Be'er Halacha basically says that lots of people disagree with the Magen Avraham. Let's just go slowly. We said the Magen Avraham has a pretty good proof from the case of Kitoniot. No? Helenia Malka is sitting in this cubicle, in the big sukkah. We see that she would not get the mitzvah, so don't we see that psal hayotze min hasukkah does not apply? Right? It seems to be an excellent proof for the Magen Avraham. Is there any way to distinguish between the case of psal hayotim and sukkah to say that sukkah extension would apply to small areas, but it still does not apply to ketoniot? Yes, yeah, yeah.
Is it a difference if something is an extension of the sukkah versus it is a part of the sukkah itself? Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes any sense.
It would, if anything, work in the opposite direction. But you're thinking along the right lines.
Maybe because, like with extension, it's clear that in and of itself it's not a sukkah. It's a part of this.
As opposed to?
A narrow place has all the requirements. It seems like a sukkah. It's just a little bit too small. So it's, you're not thinking.
Again, the sukkah extension in this image, so it looks like it's one sukkah. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, like you fair or yeah. Feel like you're part of
that. And the tiny little corner in the sukkah, you also feel like you're part of a big sukkah. What about ketoniot?
It's like its own little area within it.
So the Chazon Ish writes, excellent. Chazon Ish writes that the area is mukaf mechitzot. I could say psal hayotze min hasukkah. I could say there's sukkah extension if, right? In this case, there's no real barrier between the main sukkah and the extension. But if I have walls that surround me, it's my cubicle, it's my own area, it's set off by walls, so in that case I cannot say the din of psal hayotze min hasukah. That's basically what most of the poskim suggest.
Just because it looks like it? Like it's a different
I don't know if it's just
area.
That. I don't think it's just perception. I think that the area is actually set off from everything else. And because it's set off from everything else, I can't say it's an extension of the main area. An extension can be you extend something when there's no physical barrier. But by the ketoniot, there are physical barriers. There are cubicle walls. Okay, let's read the next Gemara. Now, this next Gemara, I have no idea why it's here in Daf Gimel. I have no idea what's here in Daf Gimel, because really, turn to Daf Chav Ches. We're talking about Daf Chav Ches, no? It just happens to make it to Daf Gimel. The Mishnah in Chav Ches tells me, right? If I'm sitting in the sukkah, and my table is in the house, Beit Shammai says it's no good, Beis Hillel says it's good. Beis Hillel tells Beis Shammai, well, didn't it happen that everyone went to visit this fellow, Rabbi Yochanan ben Hachoranit, and they see that he's sitting, Rosh Avruba Basuka, his table's in the house, no one says anything? So Beis Shammai says, no, you got the case wrong. They actually did say to him. They said, if you're sitting like this, you don't get the mitzvah sukkah. So I have a Mishnah Chav Ches, that according to Beis Shammai, if I'm sitting in the sukkah, my table's at home, and my table's in the house, I don't get the mitzvah. It's pasul. Beis Hillel says it's kosher. So that's a Mishnah in Chav Ches. That Mishnah is really the topic of conversation over here in Daf Gimel. Meaning, let's read the Gemara. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, halacha, tzricha shetehei machseket rosho v'rubo v'shulchano. A sukkah has to hold, the minimum size of a sukkah is Rosho Verubo Vishochano, the person's head, the majority of his body, or her, and the table. That's what the Gemara says. Amalei Reb Abba Kiman, Ke Beit Shammai. They said, does this go like Beit Shammai? Why? Zakt Rashi, because if it goes like Beis Hillel, you don't need the Shulchan in the. You don't need the Shulchan in the Sukkah. Again, we pass in. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said that the halacha is that you need the table in the sukkah also. Zakti Gemara, oh, that's true only according to Beit Shammai. Because according to Beit Hillel, you don't need the table in the shulchan. So Amalei, Elakaman, he says, yeah, of course it's like Beit Shammai. Who else would it be like? Ika da Ami, Amarab Abba, da Amalach Mani, who are you saying according to? Amalei Beit Shammai hi, velo tazuz mina. This goes like Beit Shammai, and don't deviate from it. Let's just pause here for a second. We follow Beit Shammai. We follow Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, he velo tazuz mina. That's what the, if you look in Tosfos, Tosfos writes, the amar lach mani Beit Shammai, he velo tazuz mina. Tosfos quotes that the Seder of Amram going is actually the earliest Seder written in Judaism. No? Basically what happened was they send a letter from some community to Reb Amram Gaon. You know, there's a Gemara that says you're supposed to make 100 brachos a day. Tell me, what are the 100 brachos? So Reb Amram writes, oh, by the way, yeah, I'll give you 100 brachos, and I'll also tell you like how you daven. That's the earliest Siddur in Judaism. This is Seder Reb Amram Gaon. My photocopy, I printed it out from Bar Ilan somewhere. The text. It's in these notes somewhere. But in the Seder Reb Amram Gaon, it writes that there are six places. Seder Reb Amram Gaon, Pasak, Vishisha, Mekomot, Halacha, Kebet Shammai, Chodahai, Tetzucha, 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 Shetei, Machseket, Roshov, Rubo, Vishulchano. We paskin. Like Beit Shammai. There are six cases in Shas. We paskin like Beit Shammai. Now this again is not a Gemara anywhere. It's Reb Amram Gaon quoted. He went through Shas and he found six places, and apparently no one disagrees. This is like the collector's item that we pass in like Beit Shammai, six different places in Shas. Okay, grand. Now, let's go back into the Gemara. Matkifla Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Mimai de Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel besukah ketana pligi. Dilma besukah gedola pligi. Ukigon de yati vapuma de matolta. V'shulchano betoch habayit. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak asks, he says, one second. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak, you told me that the halacha is that the minimum size of a sukkah is Rosho Rubo v'shulchano, which equals 7 tfachim by 7 tfachim. And that goes like Beit Shammai. Meaning that the Mishnah and Chaf Ches, where Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree, they're talking about a tiny little area. Well, who says that's correct? Right? Maybe on Daf Chaf Ches, they're talking about a gigantic sukkah. And you happen to have the table, in the house. Maybe besukah gedola pligi. And the case of di yosef apuma de matulta, you're sitting by the entranceway to the sukkah. And your table's in the house. And Beit Shammai would make a gezeira, shema yimashecha hashulchano. Ubeit Hillel savri lo gazrinon. Beit Shammai would say, you know what, even if it's a gigantic sukkah, but if your table is in the house, well, maybe you'll be drawn after your table. Oftentimes when people eat, you know, your mother always tells you, at least my mother tells me, like to sit up straight when I eat. But very often people don't do that, and like you bend over, no?
Well, they're doing hasebah.
But right, so it's a little bit hard to bend over hasebah unless it's like this, right? Or something, right? Actually, I'm looking, there is... Look at the Rashi, Videka Nami. Tanya, you may have hit on something. Look at this Rashi, Videka Nami. Deka Nami Garsinon, we'll infer this also. Videka Nami Kedokaman Bigedola Pligi. We'll infer, they're talking about big sukkah. V'hu yoshev al hapetach mi bachutz, v'roshom mushkav l'tocho, v'shulchano lefnei gufo babayit. How is Rashi setting up the case of the big sukkah where you might be drawn after your table? I would have said that here's a gigantic sukkah, right? And my table is at the end of the sukkah. And I'm sitting in the sukkah and the concern is maybe I'll bend over to the table. Is that what Rashi says? I mean, I set it up. What's Rashi saying? Hu yoshev al hapetach mi bachutz. No? This guy is sitting outside of the sukkah. His head is leaning inside the sukkah. And his table is in the house. Okay? So here's the table. Here's the guy. Right? And the guy is like leaning over, doing your haseba. And he's leaning away from his table. The Pnei Yeshua jumps up and down, spits water and nickels. He says, why the heck does Rashi say this? Like, I'm just reading the words of Rashi, no? It mamish makes no sense. But, okay, that's what Rashi writes. Right? We don't know why Rashi does this. No idea. Okay, but let's go back to our Gemara. The Gemara says, how do you know that the dispute is about a sukkah ketana the way Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said it? Maybe the dispute is about a sukkah gedola. And if the dispute is about a sukkah gedola, the Gemara clarifies what the lumdus of the machlokes is. That Beis Shammai makes a gezeira shema yimashecha hashulchano, and Beis Hillel does not make such a gezeira. Dekonami, and I will show you, I will prove to you with an inference from that Mishnah on Chavches, that we're talking about a sukkah gedola, not a sukkah ketana. Diktani, misha yirosha v'ruba v'suka, v'sholchano betoch habayit, Beit Shammai poslin, u'beit Hillel machshirin. The case is that the guy is sitting Rosh of Ruba on the sukkah, the tables in the house. Beishami says no good. Beisol says it is good. Vim Isa machzeket ve'ina machzeket nibayalei. If we're talking about a sukkah katana, so then we shouldn't just say, oh, you're sitting in the sukkah and the table's at home. We should say machzeket ve'ina machzeket. We should say, oh, that the sukkah holds this amount of space, it doesn't hold that amount of space. It seems from the way we're phrasing it, it's a halacha on the gavra rather than a halacha on the cheftza of the sukkah. If it's a halacha on the gavra, that means I'm talking about a sukkah gedola, and the halacha on the gavra is, do I make a gezeira shem yimashech achas shulchano? If the machlekes would be the way Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said it, which is about a sukkah ketana, so then the Mishnah should say machzeket ve'ena machzeket. So the Gemara says, whoa, whoa, dude, what's going on? B'sukkah ketana lo pligi. You tell me that the dispute is only about a sukkah gedola, not sukkah ketana, but I have a braisa that speaks about machzeket, rosh of rubo shulchanok sheira, Rebbe Yomer, Acheba, Arba Amot, Al Arba Amot. B'tanya idach, Rebbe Yomer, Kusukah she'ein ba'arba amot, arba amot psula, v'chamomer, afilo ein ha-machzeket, ha-rosh ha-rubo k'sheira, v'yul shulchan olo k'tani. Right, etc. Meaning, that I have a braisa that uses the word machzeket. So the braisa is focused on the cheftza, the sukkah. Now there is a dispute in the braisa between Rebbe Yehuda Anossi and the Tanakama, as to whether the sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, or whether it's okay less than that. And there seems to be a dispute between two versions of the braisa. One version of the braisa has shulchano, the other does not have shulchano. So the Gemara puts the whole thing together, and the Gemara says, oh, maybe the one that has shulchano is talking according to Beit Shammai. The one without shulchano is going according to Beit Hillel. But basically it says machzeket, which means that we're talking about a sukkah ketana. V'ilu shulchano lo ktani kasha adadi, ela shmari no ha-Beit Shammai ha-Beit Hillel. So again, at first we infer from the Mishnah on Chaf Ches that the dispute is about a sukkah gedola. But then we have this braisa that says machzeket versus eina machzeket, which means that we're talking about isuka ketana. Omer marzutra, masnisa nami deka, midikta beik shamay pulswin, ubeitelo machshirin, vim ita beik shamay omrim lo yatsa, ubeitelo omrim yatsa mi bayale. Right? The Mishnah on Chaf Ches. If I'm sitting Rosh Avarubo, Besukah, and the table's at home, so Beis Shammai says, Poslim. Huh?
Which is the Sukkah.
Poslim sounds like it's on the Cheftza of the Sukkah. But one second, if we're talking about a Sukkah Gedola, so it's a Psul in the, it's not a Psul, it's a Gezeira, that the Gavra, that the person sitting in the Sukkah, does not fulfill his mitzvah. It should say Yatzah, Velo Yatzah. So the Gemara basically answers that there's two points of dispute. There's a machlokes by a sukkah ketana and a machlokes by a sukkah gedola. Hey, ultimately, I think some of you finished this Gemara, some didn't. So we'll just like summarize for a second and believe that next week we'll have to have a lot of fun with this. But effectively what the Gemara is saying is that there are two machlokes in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. One machlokes is about a sukkah gedola. Now that machlokes is about a sukkah gedola, the Gemara tells me the lumdis. The question is, do I make a gezeira shema yimashei chacha shulchano or not? Do I make a gezeira that maybe I'll be drawn after my table? That's the machlokes by sukkah gedola. The Gemara says that they also dispute a sukkah katana, but the Gemara never tells me what the lumdis of the dispute by the sukkah katana would be. Okay, I'm going to leave this as a cliffhanger, but it's a very important point. In other words, by sukkah gedola, the Gemara tells me exactly what the machlokas is. Right? That what they're disputing is whether we make a gezeira, that maybe you'll be drawn after the table. By Sukkah Ketana, there's also a machlokes. But the Gemara never tells me what that machlokes is, or to say it better, what is the reason behind that machlokes. Now, the Gemara could not tell me for one of two reasons. Either it's the same thing, no? That by a small sukkah, I'm also worried maybe you'll be drawn after your table. Alternatively, maybe it's different. What would be the difference? Well, we'll have to figure that out, right? But the Gemara is not, the Gemara is only saying that there's a machlokas both by sukkah katana and by sukkah gadola, but the Gemara does not tell me what the machlokas by sukkah katana is. And this Bli Neder is something that we'll have to talk about next week. This tosis is a hard tosis. There's like a million cases in it. Did anyone start this tosis to Omar Loch? So for next week, Bli Neder will start the tosis. I gave you a riff also. I probably should have given you the rush because it's more succinct than the riff. So when I update the Makoros for next week, I'll give you the rush. And we'll have the end of Tosis is fun. There's a run. We'll have a good time. Okay, Chevra, thank you for listening.
Thank you.